Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Justin.
We talk about The Witcher Season 4 today. Maybe last week you saw our first impressions of The Witcher. Those were just the first couple episodes. And we kind of got off on some tangents about general industry stuff about the state of fantasy. But this week we're talking about The Witcher Season 4 in earnest. Full spoilers.
Woo.
All 8 episodes. Plus the Rats movie, which stealth released alongside it somehow. We talked about that in the last episode about how
nobody's seen it.
Yeah, I had no idea that was even going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So, getting into our review, in a word, my review of season four is Yeah, that's better. Yeah, I did it better the second time. So, for real though, I think good performances and cast chemistry struggle to uphold a generic and thin plot. What's your overall take?
My overall take, I would say, is I think it was better than the third season. And I liked the new Geralt, and I liked all the new cast of characters we got. It was fun, it was enjoyable, it wasn't groundbreaking, but it's, I don't know, I think it for the Witcher show, it's about on par with quality.
I think that's where I'm tossing it up in my head for basically all week thinking about this, and finishing the season changed my perspective on things in a more negative light, because as I was going, I'm like, yeah, this is on par with season three. This is a pretty good. And then the ending hit, and despite enjoying a lot about it, I realized that this show is very much a journey, not the destination sort of season. I enjoyed individual scenes. I enjoyed individual characters and performances and moments and monster battles within it. But when taken as a whole, I look at season four and I think it's House of the Dragon season two phenomenon where everything is just the exact same at the end. I'm like, okay, so Geralt and his friends, who he was with at the very beginning, he's still with these people, plus a couple extra stragglers. They didn't find Ciri. They're still looking for Ciri. Yen is putting together a coven of witches to fight Vilgefortz. Okay, she did that, but Vilgefortz is gone. Her coven's still there. And
now she's
like,
building a better coven.
Yeah, so they're basically in the same position, but just got a bunch more people killed in their quests. And Ciri is still missing, and she started the season alone, and then all her friends got killed, and she's still alone. So basically, this whole season ended its status quo how it started. Well, nothing progressed, and that's where my rating tanked a whole rating. Was when I consciously realized, wait a minute, nothing happened this year.
Nothing happened.
I could just go into season five and feel like I missed nothing.
It's about the journey, Joe, and the characters.
I know, and that's why I toss it up in my head, because I did enjoy a lot about it, which we will get into. It's just as an overall picture. And I think it hurts me because when I watched season three, which you said you liked this better than season three, I remember liking season three more than most people did at the time. And a big caveat I had about it was that season three was largely a setup season. It went so far into Witcher politics, the world politics of everything, and building up all these side characters. It really lost its focus by focusing on so many different people. It basically was all the supporting characters for the whole season. This season very much focuses in, which is what I thought I wanted until nothing progressed. So with season three, basically, my point was, okay, this is a whole setup season. And if season four delivers, I'll look back on season three more fondly. And if season four flops, it'll feel like just a bunch of setup for nothing. That's how I felt going in. But funny enough, after going through season four, I think I look back on season three more fondly than I expected. Despite thinking season four didn't stick the landing, I still feel like season three did its setup pretty well. And what emotional catharsis I did get from season four was because season three set things up pretty well. And I think it's also why season five will hopefully be the ending that the show deserves. I think season three is still that pivot point that's making things, it's teeing things up for later. I was just hoping to get more payoff now, not knowing the story whatsoever. But this season felt more transitional than I wanted. It still felt like it's spinning its wheels before the big ending. It just felt weird because there was a lot of downtime in this season. Basically, the whole season is, for Geralt specifically, it's him and all these friends. They're changing as people by being a little more vulnerable with each other and getting past their traumas and emotional baggage that's held them back this whole time. Yennefer's learning to become a better leader and be a bit less of a loner who clashes with everybody else around her. She's trying to get a unit together and actually be a team player. And Ciri is asserting her independence in a fantasy-esque setting of, okay, well, without parents around, I'm a street rat. So she's getting some of her teenage angst and brutality out by kind of just becoming a bully with these people. Until her conscience kicks in and she realizes she can do better than this. And so there is some personal development.
I have a question about a point you made earlier. You said,
yeah,
you said season three was all build up, but did it not build up to have an ending where the world shifted for each character? Aretuza was destroyed. Geralt of Rivia almost was basically dead. Ciri disappeared.
Yep.
So, like, why do you think it was just all build-up? Because I thought that was kind of... And then, to me, season four is carrying on with these big changes to the world where Nilfgaard is in full invasion mode.
Full war happening.
Yeah, it's because that broke out right at the end of season three, so it's full-blown war. We're in full-blown war territory. The mages are all scattered. Geralt's recovering from near death, basically, and Ciri is somewhere completely different.
I think the reason I feel the way I do is because the way this show presents itself is that Ciri is the most important person on the continent and everybody's after her for their own reasons. And in terms of that, nothing paid off. Nobody found her. Nothing was accomplished around her, but everyone's still looking after her. Yen's becoming...
Well, somebody did get her. The bad guy at the end,
okay,
got
Leo,
her.
Yeah, Leo
got
her.
It was all a race to find... The whole point was the race to find Ciri. And Geralt and Yennefer were pointed in the wrong directions. Both of them were pointed in the wrong directions. She thought that Vilgefortz would give her the answers. And he doesn't have the answer either. She finds out he doesn't know anything. Geralt's headed to Nilfgaard, and then he's like, oh, it's a fake Ciri. It's not even her.
Yep.
And then it's the bad guy at the end who actually gets her. So it was kind of like a race back and forth between who's actually gonna get her.
When you spell it out, I concur that. Yes, I do think that was the intent now that you say it. I just didn't feel it came across very well in execution. In terms of that, it felt more like spinning its wheels, despite perhaps on paper, as you're describing, that was probably the idea. And it makes more sense when you describe it that way. As for what's happening, I think a big thing I struggled with this season, and you can help me out with this maybe because you've read the books and you know a little bit more about the overall, and it could just be because I didn't do my research going in or recap or remind myself what was happening very well, but I struggled to figure out what Vilgefortz's plan actually was. He's set up as this big villain who's trying to get Ciri for reasons, and they may have even touched on it a bit this season, but I found him hard to root for or against as such a big villain, because I'm like, I don't even know what you're doing. It's just, you're looking for Ciri for vague,
universe-shifting reasons. She's got the elder blood that's powerful in some way.
Something about a convergence, or like Istrid had something in his research he found was important for Ciri to be around for.
I think that's the thing, is that
he's such a big villain, and
well, and it's almost like it's all build up for him, because we're getting snippets of his plan and he still weaseled away. So I guess that's going to play out in the last season.
So that's one thing, is I didn't understand Vilgefortz's plan. And also, it's been so long between seasons that I couldn't remember if his plan has been discussed, and I just didn't clue in, or like, oh yeah, that was a thing from 2 years ago that I forgot.
I think that's part of the reason why I wasn't really feeling Yennefer's story, even though it had some momentum to it, but I was like, eh.
Because we know she's not going to find Ciri like she wants, and Vilgefortz is an underwhelming villain.
Yeah. To me, the real villain of this season was Emir.
Which I also had a problem with, because Emir is just kind of boring to me too. I think his plot on paper is compelling. I thought one of the coolest twists of the season was something I never even thought about, was when Skellen was pleading for his life. And he was great, by the way. The guy who played Skellen was a standout character this year. But it was when Emir had the knife to his throat, and he was describing, okay, so maybe your plan's not working very well because there's competing prophecies going on right here. Geralt's child of surprise, and he's supposed to be destined to look after her forever, and you're supposed to marry your daughter and have an heir. And you can't do that because Geralt of Rivia's prophecy is interfering with yours, so you need to eliminate Geralt. Like, that's really interesting. In this world of destiny, these two competing forces both have destinies with Ciri, and they need to eliminate each other for one to actually come to pass. I'm like, that was a pretty clever way to talk your way out of that situation, to still show your usefulness.
Yeah.
But like, to me, that was a Skellen moment. Emir was just pouting around his castle all season. It's fake Ciri, and I can't marry my daughter. And he's letting his servants do all his work for him. Skellen's plotting against him. His court wizard guy was also kind of interesting. Fake Ciri was also kind of cool. Like, stuff around him was interesting. But the most interesting he was the whole season was his Dooney flashback when we saw when he met Cahir.
With Cahir, yeah.
That was the most interesting he was all season.
I think the point with it is that he's the opposite of what's his name? The other king.
Radovid?
Yes, Radovid. Yeah. They're both showing different paths. Emir is kind of sitting around moping in his castle while he's commanding his force to absolutely decimate the land. And then there's Radovid, who's useless, who's actually trying to become, well, by the end, he's attempting to be useful and be what he thinks is a true king's position.
Yeah, just embrace that he's actually competent.
So I think that the two competing, like, ideals of the kings, they're kind of like a mirror of themselves, in a way.
Yeah. Once again, I can see that being compelling on paper, but in execution, Emir is just kind of a boring ultimate villain for me, and somebody like Vilgefortz, I don't really know what you're doing. You're more charismatic to watch scene by scene, at least. That's kind of what I was getting at right at the beginning, where I'm like, I like the Vilgefortz actor. I think he's got charisma. I enjoy watching him. He's got a good screen presence. He's badass, but I don't know what you're doing, so I can't root for you very well. All that said, out of the big villains this season, it's Leo Bonhart that steals the whole season.
Yes, he is incredible.
Everything this guy is in is just gold. He's ruthless right from his first scene. He's charismatic as an actor and a performer. Just every single scene, I like the way that he lets tension build. Like, people spit on his face multiple times and he just kind of, he doesn't shout at them or anything.
I thought that was really interesting. He never, ever lost his cool. No matter what they did, he's like, okay.
He just disappointed.
And then he's like, he's just disappointed.
I'm not
disappointed.
Mad, I'm just disappointed. Yeah. Yeah. That's his whole vibe. And it makes him scarier.
Well, and I think something that I thought was really interesting, I'm going to steal from the Rats movie, is the fact that all the rats were trained to fight by a Witcher.
Yes, that was
so
interesting.
Him being the Witcher hunter, like, he specializes in killing Witchers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first scene we see him. He kicks a Witcher's ass, and
that Witcher was the worst fighter I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. But the fact that he specializes in taking on those types of moves makes it pay off even better when he just walks in and, like, floors the rats like it's nothing. Because all of their training was matching the same style he's used to fighting all the time. Except Ciri put up a bit more of a fight because she was trained by Geralt, so it's a little bit different.
And I think the reason I like Leo the most is because he gave me what I didn't get between Emir and Vilgefortz. He's got the charisma of Vilgefortz and a more simple motivation than Emir, which I'm actually seeing pay off. He's a bounty hunter who's got some vendetta against Witchers, who's collecting his pendants. He's got some backstory with the rats, and he's just this cold, calculating guy who gets the job done. He's just this terrifying enforcer who's a force of nature and can kill some of the best fighters on the continent and barely break a sweat doing it. He's terrifying, and he's got great screen presence, and he's just really cool and fun to watch. And his motivation is simple enough that I'm like, no, I know what you're doing. And when it comes to the rats, I feel mileage may vary on whether I root for you or against you. A lot of people hate the rats. I don't mind them. I think they're better handled than people give them credit for.
I was surprised how well they were done. I thought they were going to be incredibly annoying.
They seem like they would be.
Yeah, they seem like that, but then they actually worked out okay.
And I think, speaking of the rats, one thing that I struggle with this season is when I got to the Rats movie, they packed so much character building and lore into that hour and 20 minutes that I'm like, I wanted to see more of that from the main season. I learned more about the rats in that hour than I did for the entire 8-hour season.
I wish they just stuck it in the middle.
Yes,
Take out the top. Like, don't do your frame tail, because obviously you're going to spoil it when you put their heads in a bucket. But when they're already dead characters, it's kind of hard to have any enthusiasm towards them, because you're like, well, they're all going to die anyways. And
they were more charismatic in that movie than they were in the whole season.
Yeah, I think
I actually got to know some of them, whereas in the main season, I basically just got to know Missile, and that was pretty, like, Missile and maybe Kaylee, but none of the others.
That's why I wish they just stuck it in the middle of the season. Like,
yeah,
cut out your frame tail, you know, don't go the whole season with us not quite understanding these characters, but enough that they're passable. If they gave us this, like, I don't know, a couple episodes in, then I think it would be very fitting.
I think that Rats movie is probably the best all-around hour this year of Witcher. It's not, I would still probably give it overall the same rating, but I liked it was focused on these characters. It was a heist movie. It was where this Witcher needs some redeeming. and they, you know, they have a bit of a family bond. And like, I bought more into his initiation with the rats than Ciri all season. Like, they, yeah, they did a lot of good world building in that hour and 20 minutes. But Ciri with the rats is, I find she became more unlikable the more she spent time with them. To me, one of the scenes that stood out was when they were robbing that rich person's daughter, and I'm like, okay, fine, you're Robin Hood types, you steal from the rich, whatever. They're not that likable. But then Ciri gets like really in her face and is just outright bullying her. And I'm like, I kind of feel bad for the rich girl in this scene.
Well, and I think that was the point, because even the rats were like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Get a move on. You're wasting.
Could you not do that?
Yeah.
And that kind of built up like, oh, Ciri's got this cockiness that's going on. And it's like, okay. And that plays out too when she's like, oh, I can take this Leo guy. Even though he killed all my friends, I'm still going to battle him. Instead of just like turning around on her horse and running away. Yep. She still tries it and gets like absolutely destroyed.
Yep.
So I guess that's kind of her lesson of the season is,
don't be cocky.
Yeah. Which is something that is surprising, because that's like Geralt's main thing. Is he's never cocky. He's always prepared. If anything, he complains about being unprepared.
Yeah.
When Yennefer pushes him into doing something a little bit more spur of the moment, he's very like, you know, and if you think about it, when it's like, oh, I need my time to make my Witcher potions and get them ready before I go fight a monster or something so that I'm ready to go. And that's the style the Witchers use to take down monsters, is they're over-prepared so that,
yes,
that's why they don't die when they fight monsters, is because they prepare themselves. They read, they learn, they prep all their stuff. You know, they might prep their trap. They prep whatever they need to handle this situation correctly.
Yes.
Even I thought when Jaskier got dragged down the tomb, Geralt didn't just like run into action immediately. He stopped, he thought about it, then he acted.
He baited it out.
He waited, he thought about it, just long enough for him to be like, I know what this is, I know how to handle this, okay, I'm ready, let's do this. And he doesn't need to explain it to anybody else, because he's like, I have enough prepared to handle this, I can do this.
Yep.
But even in that spur of the moment where you think he would spring to action, he doesn't dash immediately for the door. Everybody else does. Everybody else is crowded around the door. And then Geralt walks up calmly.
Yeah, I thought the action incorporated more mix of hand-to-hand plus magic this season, which is pretty cool to see. Especially for the Witcher magic, which I feel like was barely used before.
Yeah.
But like,
well, they used the little star thing that locks ghosts in.
Yeah. Like between Geralt and Vesemir and the other Witchers, and even in the rats as well, with that Witcher, I'm like, the Witchers are using more magic this season, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, they use their shields. They use their. I don't think we saw so much magic. I feel like he's only done like the force push, basically.
Yes, but like we've seen the force fields and the star magic and. I'm like, it adds more versatility to the fights. It makes them more engaging.
That one was really cool because, like, I just remember from playing The Witcher 3 games that it's like, oh yeah, you want to take down a ghost. Okay, you got to be prepped to do the star magic and trap them, or else you're screwed. And I'm like sitting there, we see this ghost. I'm like, huh? I wonder if he's my own Witcher instincts are kicking in, and I'm like, he's got to use the star magic. And then he actually did it, and I was like, what? He actually did the thing. He did it the way he was supposed to do it.
I don't know if it's part of Ciri's story that she's basically using no magic whatsoever. I know she always kind of struggled with magic, but it just felt weird. She didn't use any whatsoever.
I think that was a point. I think she sacrificed her usage of magic by swearing it off to...
Is that what happened?
I remember something.
This is what happens when their seasons are 2 years apart. I can't remember how she left season 3 off.
It was something like that. I don't think she can use magic anymore. I think she gave it all up or something.
Hmm.
I forget what for, but I don't know.
What did you think of the mage fight in episode 6?
It was fine. I didn't like that they had to kill Vesemir, though.
That was bull.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
But they changed the actor, didn't they?
I think so.
Okay, because I thought so, and I'm like...
He probably pulled a Henry Cavill. I'm not coming back for this.
Yeah.
Just to get killed off.
And they didn't... I don't know, I didn't quite like this guy's portrayal. He just didn't seem... He didn't seem like the character to me, which is fine. It's a take. But maybe that's why they killed him off real fast. They're like, okay, we just need him to not be, like, you know, floating in this universe somewhere. Let's just get rid of him.
I think what bugged me more than the way they handled Vesemir's death, where he went off single-handed against somebody who is kind of a known hand-to-hand combatant. I'm like, okay, first of all, tactically bad decision. Second of all, you died kind of stupidly. Third, Geralt had basically no reaction to it. When Yen told him, it was like, oh, Vesemir's dead and all my novices are dead. Okay, let's have sex now. For an extended montage. That's just weird to me. I'm like, he's trying not to react. He has like half a second of realization. But the whole thing was like, you just killed off a major character and just brush it off pretty soon after. Like, Istra's death was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I thought that one was handled okay. Especially Anya Talatra's reaction to it was what sold it for me. Like, yeah, you guys have had some ups and downs, but you were pretty close with him, and that's sad. This season's killing off more characters. Like, okay, so I start feeling the stakes a little bit more that way. But, yeah, the mage battle was pretty cool. Like, it was more of a spectacle thing. It was, like, yeah, the big action set piece of the season.
Cool. I don't know, like I said, I didn't really care for Yennefer's story this season, and the mage battles were just kind of, eh.
Okay, now, this is a, okay, the thing I will say about the mage battles is, with my new speaker setup, they sounded great. The sound design in them was really cool. There were some cool elements with the back speakers behind me, with like spells whooshing around. And there were also really cool things like, not in the mage battle specifically, but in that one scene where there's that monster hunting Geralt and all of them in that forest. When the monsters are like rushing around, there was some like skittering and stuff behind me. Which, like, most of the season didn't have sound design elements like that, but there were a couple of specific sequences where they used surround sound pretty cool.
Well, talking about that episode, I loved that episode. It looked fantastic. I don't know. I had a lot of fun with that episode. That was probably my favorite episode.
Well, I think my favorite about this season in general is just that D&D party meeting, killing monsters and meeting random people and and saving war refugees and kind of helping out with the war effort, whatever. I'm like, this is the coolest part of the season. It's just like D&D adventure anthology.
Yeah, and that part was really enjoyable. I thought it was really good.
Hanging out around the campfire, discussing traumas, whatever. Just, yeah, cast there had really good chemistry in that group.
They turned Kahir into my favorite character.
Kahir's great.
He's fantastic now.
Kahir's always that character I like when he shows up, and then I forget about him for a really long time, and then I'm like, oh, right, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him and Geralt at the end when they take the bridge together.
Yeah, that was a really good scene.
Like, yeah, they just need an officer to spur them into gear, which is pretty cool.
I think they went, that fight with whatever it was, like the troll. I don't think the CGI looked very good for that.
Not on the troll, no.
But I do appreciate the fact that they did something more complex and weren't afraid to just show the monster.
Yep.
Just so that they could actually do something a bit more complex. And
it was a cool fight.
Yeah, it was cool. Which is why I was like, okay, I saw it at first. I'm like, ooh, that's not great looking. And then I was like, no, I had fun with that fight. That was cool. They got to play it up more. Maybe the CGI was a little rushed, but I think it was a worthy sacrifice, because otherwise you wouldn't have something that complicated included.
I feel like this season suffers from a lack of budget.
Probably.
Comparatively. Because I just noticed the whole thing, going back to before, just thing one, it felt very small scale. Like, it's focusing on basically just Geralt, Ciri, and Yen. And, like, they have a couple of locations, cool, which I'll get to. But think of all the supporting characters we saw before in previous seasons. Most of them were basically just glorified cameos. We saw, like, Dijkstra and Radovid for one episode, just for example. Like, they were so prominent in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how many of the supporting cast did they wipe out at the end of season 3? Or basically, like, Istrid, or, you know, basically just cameoed a few times and then got killed off. Vesemir, like, they're here, but barely. The locations. We had some cool locations this season, but in previous seasons, it was like, we're going somewhere new, and every episode nearly, like, new castle sets and, like, crazy things all the time, grand adventures. This one, I basically felt like, okay, so in series one, you're, you know, you're reusing the same desert looking block all the time. You have a couple of sets there, Yennefer and Monte Calvo. Like, that was her set basically the whole time. Geralt and his friends are, like, in forest. Just like generic forest set all the time. I'm like, I felt less diversity in the sets this year.
The rats street. They basically had all their scenes on that same, like, T intersection. I mean. Like, almost the whole thing was set right there.
So you had some contrasting stuff, like, between the castle and the forest and the desert, but they basically never left those settings all season. Mm-hmm. And the CGI on the monsters is less stellar than it used to be, and there's less monster fights and action as well. Everything just felt more
shoestring.
Yeah, it felt more stripped back this season.
Mm-hmm.
What was there was good. I don't fault the production design elements or anything. It's just, I feel like you couldn't go as far as you did in the past.
To me, this feels like a season one again.
Yeah,
it's
felt like a reset.
Trying to use a small budget to prove that this show can work.
Yep.
And not a heck of a lot happens, but it's still entertaining enough. It wasn't the season that's pushing, you know, it's not pushing and going for big things. It's small, it's contained, and then it's like, okay, if the Netflix executives like it, they'll give us a second season. But
I think that's the big problem with it, is that it just feels like a show on the decline, because we know that season 5 is going to be the last one, and I believe they've already shot it, or they'll be in post-production very soon. So it's not like, I'd agree with you if this was a soft reset of a show that was going to be running a while longer. Hey, okay, we needed to drop The Witcher's budget to get it to 8 seasons or whatever. But the fact that it's second to last season guaranteed, it just makes it feel like, okay, we're on the decline now.
Yeah, well, they all the behind-the-scenes stuff killed it.
Yeah, well, that's a factor, too. I don't fault the production design, but I do have trouble with the costume design this season. There were multiple costumes where I'm like, what are we doing here? That just looks like a modern outfit. Especially on the outfit Yen was wearing in the back half of the season. I'm like, this just looks like she showed up to work. I noticed
that the second she walked out with that, I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, just...
Like, something about it, I was like...
I think that's the most egregious one for a main character, but there were other ones where I'm just like, what are we doing here? This feels... like, you're breaking my immersion. Like, yeah, so it's the material and style, like, whatever. Like, there are similar clothes to this in the Witcher universe we've seen, but just the way the costumes came together in some parts were just like, really? Just doesn't feel... Witcher fantasy world enough.
Mm.
Feels too modern day, save on budget, less extravagant than in past seasons. Yeah. And going back to the action a bit, one, I definitely want to give props to the choreographers, but also to the actors as well. Specifically, all the Siri and the rats. All them. Because I look at the way somebody like Geralt was done versus all the rats, and even in their own movie. And I'm like, okay, Liam Hemsworth is good at swordplay. I think Henry Cavill was better at the combat choreography. But I look at all those scenes, and even like in the mage fights, whatever, the editors are cutting around everybody like a typical fight, whatever. I'm like, I see this stuff everywhere. It's just a fight. But basically every time the rats had swordplay in their own movie and in the TV series, it was wide shots. The actors are actually doing it. They're not cutting around them.
Yeah.
The choreography came to life more in those scenes. And I noticed it even more in the movie, where like in the show, I'm like, wow, Freya Allen is really good as a stage combatant.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the movie, all the other ones were doing it too, more. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're all good. Like just all these people are exceptional stage combatants. Really,
especially putting, like, you know, putting them up against the best fighter in the continent or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it made that fight seem pretty good because you got to actually see the swordplay. They didn't cut around it a lot.
Not in the rats.
Like, there was a very long shot where I think, like, I don't know, two or three of them died in one shot just because the shot was so long that he's like, and one, and two, and three.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to give them their due because they were, that group in particular, very good stage combatants. Let's see what. What else? Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, great new character.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like Regis or Leo Bonhart better, but they... couple great new introductory characters this season. I don't remember the dwarf character's name, but he was really good too. I thought he was quite well done.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Strybog, was it?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, I thought he was very good as well. I even like Milva more this season. I really didn't like her at the end of season 3, but I thought she was pretty good here.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole bit with her miscarriage at the end was a bit odd. It just felt kind of glossed over. They were building up her pregnancy for like the back half of the season just to be like, yeah, she lost the baby.
There was something odd in the back few episodes that felt like a whole section was missed. Like,
yeah, when they're on the boat at the beginning, Milva's just gone all of a sudden, and then she shows back up halfway through that episode.
She left earlier. She announced that she was leaving, but then she came back in the next episode.
Yeah, she just showed back up.
But so, there were some other inconsistencies, but it made it seem like this journey we saw was a lot longer than they portrayed. Like, you know, we see it as like, oh, maybe it was like a week.
Yep.
I think that it was more like months.
Well,
because
when she said she got pregnant, that was the group of people she was with just before she went to care for Geralt. And I don't know how long Geralt was being cared for by her again.
That's true.
I know there was like multiple month gap there before Geralt and Jaskier went into the Nilfgaardian territory. I think that's where a lot of the gap was in that like healing section. But I agree with you. There was also a longer span.
The way they all grouped together and then separated, and they were like, oh, we have all these, you know.
Yeah.
We spent all this time with you guys, and it's like, not really. And the other one was, the biggest offender to me was Yennefer and her coven of people when they're like, oh, you know, some of these people are enemies, and it's like, she just the way they interacted after everything was done, and they're like, oh, there was something about the dialogue that made it seem to me like they were like, oh, we're sisters in this, and it's like,
you guys have been at each other's throats all season.
You had a mutual enemy. What are you talking about? But it felt like, and they were like, oh, and we all trained together with the Witchers. And I'm like,
weren't they just there for 2 days?
Yeah. I'm like, to me, it felt like there was a spot where it was supposed to be like, okay, they've been training with the Witchers for like a whole month or 2 months. Like, and Geralt was traveling with them for a whole month. And Ciri was with the rats for that time too. Like everything felt like there was like a 1 to 2 months that just went and disappeared. And it's like, yeah, we made connections really, really, really fast, really deep connections, really fast.
Well, isn't that just this Witcher show in a nutshell, is messing around with a timeline in undescript ways?
Yeah, I think so, pretty much.
They've been doing that since season one, where it took me way too long to realize there were multiple timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh wait, none of these are like, so even how long ago was this show? 7 years ago. So even back then it was like, okay, your timelines are screwy.
Yeah, it just felt like there was some missed time in there. Like they could have, there was no set timeline. We didn't know how long these adventures were going on and why they got so attached to these people really fast. To me, I think there was more time in between.
Yeah. So let's talk about Liam Hemsworth a bit more. We talked about our first impressions on the last episode, but what did you think of him having seen him all the way through?
I stand by my earlier statements. I think he was fantastic. I think he did a very, very good job.
I agree.
As Geralt, I really like his portrayal of Geralt. Honestly, I think if he was Geralt at the beginning of the series, maybe it's the writing, maybe they've changed the writing. I could be wrong. But I think I would have liked to see this version of Geralt from the beginning rather than now, just because he was so good. But that also might be the writing.
I think it's partially his portrayal, but it's also a scripting thing, because Regis makes note multiple times this season about, oh, Witcher, you're changing and, you know, getting more vulnerable with people and being less of a masculine loner off in the corner, just being badass all by myself. I don't need anybody. I'm a lone white wolf, you know? And Liam Hemsworth's version is embracing his relationships with other people. This is the nicest I've ever seen him to Yaskier all season. I enjoy that, for the entire show. And, he just seems to care about people more, even though he's still pretty repressed. You see more of his emotions coming out, or him actively trying to suppress them more. Where I remember Henry Cavill's version more, he just seemed angry or annoyed most of the time. Whereas Liam Hemsworth, he just seems more well-rounded as a character and as a person, but also trying to grow and embrace new aspects of himself. So yes, I think that's partially the writing, but I think Liam Hemsworth came in at a time when they said, okay, we're opening Geralt up more. I don't think that was necessarily a fault of Henry Cavill's portrayal. That's just how he was written to be at the time. If they said, you can let your Geralt be more vulnerable, he would have played it that way.
I know Henry Cavill has the acting chops to do it.
Yeah, so I feel like it's a specific, okay, well, it's not just that we got a new actor, it's that we're saying Geralt is changing as a result of his experiences, so you can show a side that Cavill never did. Or never was allowed to much, that I remember anyway. So I look forward to seeing what he's doing in season 5. I think he got better as the season progressed.
Yes.
Those definitely. First couple episodes were a little, okay. Okay, I see what you're doing, but you're still hewing close to what I know. And then he made it his own more.
Well, that's I think that's what I said on the other episode, was that it was like, yeah, when he's doing his own thing, I really like it. When he's trying to do Henry Cavill's version, it's kind of iffy.
Yeah, which we predicted he would transition, yeah, and he did.
He really did. He basically, I think it was after the second episode, I think he just embraced, like, they let him fully go with this, the new version of Geralt, mm-hmm, which was really good. I really liked it this season.
I think him and Joey Beatty have great chemistry together.
Mm-hmm.
Geralt and Yaskier have always been my favorite part of the whole show, so seeing them together, like, actually in a good place this season, warms my heart. I enjoy. So, Witcher Season 4, in a nutshell, do you have any more stray thoughts on it?
No.
Yeah, so I'd give Witcher Season 4 entertaining if you watch passively, or just see the best of clips. I think overall as a season, it missed its mark. It's probably my, I think this is the lowest rating I've given a season, despite liking elements of it more. I think I gave season 3 worth a watch at the time, which is one higher rating than this. But I think it was a more solid all-around season in retrospect, despite it being more dour and less entertaining. Like, I think this one has more entertainment value, but the other one was structurally better in the past.
I think this one has more rewatchability.
That's why I'm trying to justify, despite enjoying myself with this season more, I'm still giving it a lower rating.
Mm.
I think the parts I enjoy, I will come back to, specifically Geralt and his band of misfits were just entertaining episodic stories for me.
Yeah.
Despite the overall season going nowhere.
Was that, yeah, it was episodic.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that would have made for a better Witcher show. If
you gave me 20 episodes of that and didn't expect anything to happen over the course of the season, I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rate it higher if the show was just that, because that's the show I wanted at the beginning, was Henry Cavill killing monsters and going on adventures. And I'm like, okay, that's basically what I got out of Geralt this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else around it did not, like, not moving forward.
Yeah, for a show that has always moved really fast, except, yeah, for season 3 moved like very a slow snail.
Yeah.
I gotta give this one a mid-tier garbage.
With some highlights.
It's good. It's good. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. But, like,
you want to see handsome men kill monsters and, like, sex scenes and choreography and fighting and
it's got stuff. It's good, but it's just not, I don't want to say that it's actually, like, a thumbs up good. It's just mid-tier. I don't know.
I was entertained. Mostly.
I was not afraid to get up and go get snacks. I mean, I can see my TV from my kitchen and I can hear it, yeah, but I'm not afraid to turn around for 2 seconds to go grab snacks or something and come back, because
that's why I say it's okay and watch passively.
That's usually what tells me that it's like, no. If you get up to go get snacks and don't pause, that's gotta be mid-tier garbage.
Yeah.
Like,
I nearly gave it worth a watch. It's just the overall drags it down. But yeah, I think watch passively, mid-tier garbage. That's, mm-hmm, about right. So.
But I will watch the next season because it was good enough for that.
No, you know, when I finished season 3 and Henry Cavill left, I didn't even know if I was going to get to season 4.
Neither did I. I didn't know if I was going to watch it.
Because season 3 didn't leave me with great feelings. And I'm like, do I even want to watch it without Henry Cavill? But then I watched season 4 and I'm like, you know what? I still enjoy it. I still enjoy what Liam Hemsworth did and what everybody else is doing. And there's enough here that's keeping me here.
Mm.
And I got to see how it ends at this point. How long has this been going on? Like, we were trying to figure out, what, 7 years?
I guess so, something like that.
I've been watching this show for 7 years. I may as well see it through to the end at this point. What's 8 more episodes?
It's just too bad that it's ending so soon. And they'll probably never do another Witcher adaption for a really, really long time.
Can you imagine any other... Nothing's going to get this level of budget and cloud again?
No. Probably not.
Until the next game, whenever that is.
I don't know, that's taking forever too.
But even that is like their own separate...
It's totally... The story's totally different. Totally different.
There's really been nothing like this where it's... You're trying to adapt the books.
Yeah.
Abridged, or just however.
I just can't see them doing it again. I
don't know, maybe some like Polish production will do it.
do it better.
I feel like that's been a trend I'm seeing.
But it won't have the super high budget, though. It won't have the budget for it.
Probably not. I just see that as a trend in international cinema and television in the last 5 years is the origin countries of famous narratives reclaiming them and doing stuff in their own language and native country that they came from. So I feel like Poland might do an adaptation of The Witcher at some point, even if they haven't, and it'll probably be the most accurate one. I've seen like France is doing Three Musketeers movies and Count of Monte Cristo movies, and like Germany did All Quiet on the Western Front. Like, just for a couple of quick examples off the top of my head, I see this trend of, hey, why are we letting the States get a hold of our cultural narratives?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And you can find all my work on thoughtplane.ca. It's free. Go check it out. And we hope to see you on the next close-up. Till next time.
Take care.